How many of you have spent a lot of time on the road to Emmaus? I know you probably haven't physically been there and spent time on the road to Emmaus, but the truth is, this story is an important one. And yet it's one that I think we don't get to see as much as we do other times, because it's a really underutilized passage of Scripture that teaches great truth. I want you to look at verse 32, and that's kind of the text of this, of our thoughts, our lesson today. These two men are talking. Only one of them were given his name, Cleopas, and we don't know the other man's name. And they've gone through this experience with Jesus. Started off not knowing who he was. He had a lot going on, not knowing who he physically was. Their eyes were not allowed to see him for who he was. But in reflection, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while we walked with him on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And one of the things that's supposed to happen in our walk with Jesus is our hearts are supposed to be set on fire. One of the things that we need to know is that we need to be in a relationship when the scriptures about Jesus are open to us, we ought to be drawn closer to him and to see him and to know him. And I want to take you back and just look at this story for what it's written out as, just a story shortly following Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. But you need a little bit of the backstory, and if you were paying close attention, maybe you picked most of this up. The first thing we know is that they were traveling to Emmaus, and the Bible says that's about 7 miles from Jerusalem. You see, they had been in Jerusalem during this crucifixion time. They had been there waiting for something to happen. They are believers. They're among that group that's believing, that's been watching, because when he's talking about the women who went to the tomb, they identify them as those who were among our company, the people that we were with. And so they're beginning to make this journey back home and to leave Jerusalem, and they're recounting. Have you ever gone maybe to see a ball game or to see a play or visit family, and on the way home you're just kind of talking about all that's happened? I think that's kind of what's going on here. They're working through what all's happened, and a lot has happened. The resurrection has happened. That's one of the things I wish I'd been there for, but I wonder if I would have known any more than they knew. Here's what they came up with. It's been 3 days. His body's missing, and we don't know what's happened. And I find that so strange with all the prophecy that's been involved, with all that Jesus has said about on the third day and what's going to happen on the third day. And these were people who want to believe, who are there, who are trying to make it all come true. And on the way back, they're coming back. They're probably on foot. 7 miles or so down the road. What happened? What does it all mean? You know, there are a lot of people who don't understand the resurrection. And that's where they were. But I think there are a lot of people today who don't understand the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that says, without the resurrection, we are of all men the most to be pitied. You see, Paul says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the resurrection is the proof text of Christianity. If he was raised, then we have the hope of being raised. If he was not raised, then we have no hope of being raised. And if we had time, we'd go and spend time just in 1 Corinthians and look and study about the resurrection, and perhaps we'll do that another time. But we just have these two people who, on this occasion, are trying to play it all back, trying to make sense of it, and they didn't come up with the idea, he is risen, he is risen, he is risen. That's not what they came up with. They came up with, it's been 3 days, and nothing happened. I think there are a lot of people seeking Jesus today who kind of come up with those similar feelings. It didn't happen just like I wanted it to. I didn't understand it just the way that it ended up. And I'm not sure that where's the big bang? Where's the excitement? Where's the finish line? It's just kind of laying there because they didn't understand indeed he was risen, and that the promises were fixing to come true and the church is fixing to be established. And while they're walking down the road, Jesus comes up. Now, you'd think that they were ready looking for Jesus. But it appears at least that maybe miraculously he was camouflaged to them at least. I don't know that literally camouflaged, but they didn't recognize him. Their eyes were closed that they didn't see him. The implication is they didn't understand that they were walking and talking with Jesus. And yet again, I wonder if there aren't people today who hear the Word of God and don't realize what it is. Who hear it as philosophy, who hear it as, quote, religious teaching, but fail to understand this is truly the Son of God who speaks to us through His Word. And so they walk and talk for a while. And while Jesus would have gone on further, they compelled Him to stay with them. And Jesus opens their eyes. And He reveals Himself to them. And now everything begins to change. Folks, when we open our eyes and see Jesus for who He is, everything begins to change. The resurrection makes sense. It all comes together. But I want you to retrace the steps with me just a little bit. When Jesus first comes on the scene, they were talking, they were conversing, they were reasoning. And Jesus drew near and He went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Him. And He said to them, and listen, this is a question I want to deal with for a few minutes. What kind of conversation is that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? What kind of conversation is it you have about Jesus? And does it end in being sad? You see, when you read the passage, it's obvious they don't understand the resurrection, and that's what's just happened. 3 days it's been, nothing's happened, He's gone, the tomb's empty, the women went in, then Peter goes in, the disciples, He's gone, but it just looks like it didn't happen to them. They did not understand Jesus, they did not understand resurrection, they did not understand what was going on. So we might ask the question this way, what are they talking about? They were talking about Jesus. They were talking about Jesus of Nazareth, the hope. We thought it was Him. Do you see the doubt that's coming in the conversation? We had hoped that it was Him that was going to redeem Israel, but He died. And so here's what they said about Him. He was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And indeed He was. But He's more than that. We're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. We had hoped that it was going to be Him. We know that He was a great prophet. He was mighty in the Word of God. What He said was true. And we know that the chief priest and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and crucified. I believe that they were at the crucifixion. It really doesn't matter if they were or not, but they had been there. They were leaving Jerusalem. This is where all their hope was. They knew that He had been delivered to be crucified. I think they must have been there. And so I can hear this conversation when they're going back. Well, I thought Jesus was the one. I was ready to follow Him, weren't you? He was a great prophet, a mighty man of God. He was powerful in the Word. But they killed Him. And His tomb is empty. We were hoping that He was the one with the reward. We were hoping He was the one that was going to redeem us. We had all our hopes playing Him. But now when Jesus joins them, He says they're very sad. They're walking away and I can just see their hopes dashed. And I've known a lot of people, faithful people, good people, who because of going through some rough stuff, lose their direction when it comes to Jesus and lose even their faith when it comes to Jesus. And they didn't want to and they meant to believe in Him. They tried to believe Him. You know, really there were a couple of conversations like that when you look in the Bible, especially during this crucifixion, resurrection period. The first one I think about is Thomas. Don't you remember back in John chapter 20? Thomas wasn't there when the rest of them saw Jesus when He came. They said, we've seen the Lord. Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see Him for myself. Unless I feel the nail prints in His hands. Unless I put my hand in His side. I won't believe Him. I wasn't here. I think y'all are making it up. I don't know who you saw, but it couldn't have been Him. He died. You see, a lot of people are really having trouble understanding what a great mystery and power the resurrection is all about. And so Jesus appears a second time to the group. It appears that they were in this closed room and Jesus kind of just walks through the wall or materializes in the room and He calls out and He says to Thomas, go ahead, feel the nail prints. Go ahead and test my side. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And the Lord says to him, you believe because you've seen. But blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Folks, that's us. You see, the resurrection is important to us as well. You remember Peter over in John chapter 21, just a chapter later? Jesus had already revealed Himself a couple of times to Peter and the disciples, and they don't seem to still get it because Peter is talking and in chapter 21, verses 1, 2, and 3, he said, I'm going fishing. And he says it to his former partners in the fishing business. This isn't an afternoon fishing trip. It's back to normal. We've seen Him. We thought it was going to be. We thought it's just, we just got to go back to. I love what happened. And check me out and see if this is right or not, but every time that I read about Peter and a fishing trip, they fish all night and they catch no fish. I don't know how they kept this business going. Fished all night, caught no fish. And Jesus is over on the shore and he said, did y'all catch anything? John 21. And they said, no. Put your net on the other side. And they did, and they catch more than they can bring in. 150 big fish, 154, 57 big fish. I can't remember how many it said. And they have to have people help bring it in. Peter puts back on his outer clothes and he jumps in and he swims to the shore and they decide it's the Lord. John told them it's the Lord. And they go over there and even in this going back to the fishing business, which they weren't good at without believing in Jesus. And Jesus, he brought them more fish than they ever had. And they had to have people help them bring in the fish. And when he gets over there, there's this whole conversation you remember that Jesus and Peter have and where he's asking, do you love me? Three times he asked the question. Two times he asked the question. The third time he changed the question. It's hard for us to see it in the English language. For first the Lord said, do you love me? Agape. Do you love me with sacrificing love that like God has? Do you love me? And he said, I love you. And he uses a derivative of the word phileo. And he said, I love you like a brother. And he said, well, feed my sheep. But it wasn't the answer he wanted. It wasn't. He didn't deal with the question. So Jesus asked him again, do you agape? Do you love me? Like God loves. Do you love sacrificially? Do you love me that way? And he says, Lord, you know, I love you like a brother. Feed my lambs. There's work for you to do, but you're not getting the question. And so ask him the third time. And this one breaks my heart. He asked him the third time, do you love me like a brother? He uses the derivative of the word phileo. I don't know what goes in the mind of the divine God that's resurrected from the dead, but it just seems like he says, I'll take what you can give right now. And Peter knows he hasn't answered the right question. And so I wonder in this situation where Jesus is talking to these two on the road to Emmaus, if he would ask the same question because he's kept who he is from them. They don't recognize him. They say, how can you not know what the talk is back in town? Everybody's talking about Jesus of Nazareth. But you see, a lot of people just didn't understand Jesus of Nazareth, the resurrected Christ, Messiah. Oh, they were hoping it was him, but they didn't understand it in reality. And then there's a couple of warnings given in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 says, an evil heart of unbelieving and talks about an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And chapter 10 verse 38 of Hebrews says, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in them. And I think about these two men who it looks like to me are falling away. They want it to be, but they're sad. And it's been 3 days since all this happened. And those women, they found just an empty tomb. Where's all the grandeur that was supposed to come? But then I thought, what kind of conversations are we having today? If Jesus walked up on us today and overheard our conversation, if all of a sudden we picked him up and he was in the car and we didn't really realize it was Jesus and we're talking, what are we talking about? And one of the things that scares me is I don't think we're talking enough about Jesus. If Jesus just joined any conversation that you had, would his name come up? Or would we sound like everybody else in the world? You see, I don't think there's enough talk about our Savior from His people. And because of that, we are producing a faithless people, a people who don't believe because they don't hear, they don't know, and they don't understand. We're told, by and large, that Christianity is no different from any other religion that anybody else has, and we must respect all people, religious or not religious, and that we have nothing other offer and nothing could be further from the truth. We have the only empty tomb. We have the only Messiah who was seen by over 500 brethren after his death and by the disciples and by these two on the road to Emmaus who's been confirmed, who appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. He is a risen Lord and there is a difference and what we believe does matter and we cannot sink in the empty vacuum of political correct religion where everything's okay because Jesus died on a cross and was risen from the tomb in 3 days, there is a difference. And so let's talk about things concerning Jesus. That's really what we've got to do, isn't it? Years ago, I saw this, I guess you'd call it a cartoon. It was like a bulletin insert. And it shows this guy behind bars, holding the bars and has the striped uniform on of a prisoner. And the caption read, if you were ever arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And that's always kind of made me wonder. Not what we do in this building, what do we do out in the world that God gave us to take the gospel into the whole world? They were talking about Jesus, what are we talking about? What's our conversation about? You see, it seemed hard to believe for them. They were sad. It seemed like it was all over. Where is He? Where is this Savior? Where is this Redeemer? Where is this King? Where is what we hope for? Today is the third day since these things happened. And if I might insert here, I think the rest of the statement would be, and nothing else has happened. We're waiting. There were certain women of our company who went into the tomb, but He wasn't there. They didn't see Him. And then Jesus begins to, I was going to say gently correct them, but that's not true. Jesus confronts them. He said, "Oh, foolish ones." They're telling what's happened in an empty tomb 3 days later. "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. You've been told this is the way it was going to be." And then He expounded to them the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. What a Bible class that must have been. Can you imagine Jesus going through the Scriptures and saying, "This is me, and this is me, and this is me"? We had a little birthday party for my twin brother and I yesterday. And one of the things that they did, they went back and got a bunch of old pictures. And there were some baby pictures, and you know what you do with twin baby pictures, don't you? You stick them both in the same picture. And so my niece looked at one of the pictures and she said, "I got to ask, which twin is which?" And I said, "You don't know your own dad? You don't recognize? How much have we changed in 60 years? I mean, I thought we looked pretty much the same." And so we went through the pictures and we would say, "That's me," or "That's Kevin." We even had to point out Cliff, because he's not a twin, but he came along later and he was in some pictures. Who is this? Can you imagine sitting down with Jesus and saying, "Here is me"? No, here I am. This Scripture is talking about this moment. This Scripture is talking about the resurrection. We need to be reminded of the story of Jesus, which begins, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," and ends in the book of Revelation with, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." And every page and every chapter is like a crimson cord stained in His blood that tells a story of one who died for us to save us from our sins and to redeem us that we could go back and live with Him. We need to know from beginning to end that Jesus is Lord. We need that first century kind of faith that Paul spoke about in 2 Timothy 1 and 12 when he said, "I know whom I have believed in, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." One final point. Then their eyes were opened. That's an important one. Because you see, you and I may not understand it all right now, but if we'll keep studying the Scriptures and finding Jesus in the Scriptures, our eyes can be opened. Their eyes were opened and they knew Him. And he wanted to go a little further, but they said, "No, stay with us." Folks, when you open your eyes and when you know Jesus, you don't want Him to go away. I can't imagine what it feels like for our military families to have these deployments. On either end, I can't imagine being the soldier leaving the family behind or the family bravely waving as their soldier leaves. That seems to me to be a great sacrifice. And if you didn't understand it, I guess I'll cheat and tell you that I've been watching Carrie's Facebook for the last few days. And the story that I've been really wrapped up in is about Madeline. And they had kept, I think from her and Mason both, that Daddy was coming home. And there was a picture in there. Oh, I don't get teary up on this one. There was a picture in there, and she was just sleeping in her bed. And Carrie wrote, "She has no idea what's fixing to happen." Would to God that people had some idea what it would be like to let Jesus into their life. They constrained Him, saying, "Abide with us." For it's toward evening, and the day is far spent. Verse 30 goes on to say, "It came to pass that He sat at the table with them. He took bread, and He blessed it, and He broke it, and gave it to them, and their eyes were open, and they knew Him, and He vanished from their sight." But I don't think He ever vanished from their lives or their heart. They had no idea what was fixing to happen. It's kind of like the song Amazing Grace, "I once was blind, but now I see." John 21 and verse 4 said, "Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus." They didn't understand it. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 16 says, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And my question is, what do we see when it comes to Jesus? Do we not recognize Him? Do we not know His promises? Do we walk around talking about the things that happened sad? Are we redeemed as God wants us to be? Verse 32 out of Luke 24. It was our text. They said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us?" I'm going to tell you something. I think that's retrospective feeling. Because if you read it, it didn't look like their hearts burned until He opened their eyes. And then it made sense. And then the questions made sense. And retrospectively, I believe that now the fire begins within them. Verse 33 goes on to say, "So they arose that very hour, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them, they were gathered together. And then they said, 'The Lord is risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon,' and they told the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." People, we need our hearts set on fire. We got too many people walking down the road blindly, not seeing Jesus. Jeremiah is a good reference to look at. And in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, Jeremiah was talking about how he wished he didn't have to preach because his life was so hard. And in verse 9 of Jeremiah chapter 20, he said, "But his word was in my heart like a burning fire. It was shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in or holding it back, and I cannot hold it back." God's word was so powerful in the prophet, he said, even if it would be easier on me not to say anything, I can't help but to tell the word of God to the people of God. Jeremiah 23 and verse 39, God himself said, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord of hosts." And then one reminder from Hebrews. It's about the word of God and how powerful it is. Chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart." Is your heart on fire? Have you had an Emmaus encounter of your own, where you come to really understand who Jesus is and to accept him for all of the power and glory and might that he has to change your life forever, where you can be his and he can be yours, and where his thoughts glow within us, where our hearts burn, where we are changed and so is the world around us? This morning, if you've not encountered Jesus in the road to your life, I hope you will. I hope you believe that he is the Son of God and you're willing to repent of past sins, confess his name, be baptized, have your sins washed away, be added to the body of Christ this morning before you leave here. We've seen others do it, and God is waiting, heaven is waiting right now for some people who've assembled here this morning to make that decision. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe Jesus believed it all the way to the cross. And there may be others who've wandered away not faithful, and that flame is not burning in your heart that you need to restore and renew yourself. If we can help you, if this morning you would come to be baptized or come to be restored to the family of God, if we can help you anyway, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?